Psalm chapter 69, verse 7, 8, and 9. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Praise God. Praise God. The zeal of thine house. Everybody say that with me. The zeal of thine house. Praise God. Let's pray together. Let's ask for the help of the Lord tonight. Let's ask God to speak to our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the congregation of the saints tonight. And I pray a move of the Holy Ghost in our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. Touch us, Lord, for we are in desperate need of your presence. We lean on you tonight. We give you thanks tonight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Mr. Soundman, I need some more monitor up here. Praise the Lord to help me with my voice. Makes it a whole lot easier. You make it good and loud up here, and then you figure out what you need out there. Praise God. Isn't God good? God is good to us. The zeal of thine house. Amen. The word zeal here means jealousy or for envy's sake. Amen. Jealousy. Now that's not a bad term when we are talking about the house of God and the work of God, but it is a jealousy like the jealousy of a husband over his wife, or a wife over her husband, or over their children, or something that is very precious to them. It is a jealousy. In fact, the Bible says that God is a jealous God. Amen. That he loves his people that much that it really bothers him. Amen. When things are not going well with us. And don't ever discount that tonight, because God knows where we are. Amen. And he wants to bless us in every area of our lives. Well, praise the Lord. And I'm going to skip over to another Bible figure for just a little bit. And I want to talk about David. David is one of, if not the most interesting figures in the entire Old Testament. As far as I am concerned, he is a hero of the faith, and he is listed in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. And so right in the big middle of all of the people of faith of the Old Testament, the Bible talks about David. David was a man of faith. Amen. It could be taken here that David was just one of many, but David was not just one of many. He was a warrior. David was a leader of leaders. David was a songwriter. He was the lover of men, and David was wise beyond his years. David was a man who failed numerous times, and yet he had the ability to get back up again and go on. Praise God. And if we're going to make it to heaven, we've got to get a hold of that truth right there. Because the righteous will fall seven times, but bless your heart, he gets back up again. We're in a battle tonight. We are fighting a battle, and it is not against people, but it is against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what the Word of God tells us. Our warfare is not carnal, but it is mighty through God. I stand here tonight to tell us that there is nothing that God cannot do in our midst. Amen. And that if we have a need tonight, we need to go to God in prayer and ask God to supply that need, and God will supply the need abundantly. Praise God. King David here was very loved, and he loved. He loved very much. Even though he was a great warrior and fighter, he had love and he had respect, at least for one of his enemies, and that was King Saul. And when King Saul died in battle, you can read it in the book of Psalm, that David wrote a beautiful psalm about King Saul. He did not gloat over his death, and in fact, there were times that David had the opportunity to kill his enemy, but David refused to do that. And in its stead, he wrote a song about him and about his son Jonathan. And it seemed like when David did the right thing, over and over again, he was accused of having motives and was persecuted for it. He was persecuted by his own brothers when he went out to battle against Goliath. And they said, "You're naughty. You've got pride in your heart." But David didn't have pride in his heart. He just had faith in his God. And sometimes it's difficult to discern the two in some people. Amen. But when he tried to do the right thing, he went in and he played for Saul. He fought for Saul. And Saul tried to kill him with a javelin on a number of occasions and then chased him like a common criminal when David had done nothing wrong. Amen. If there is any aspect of this man David, it was something called mercy. God had mercy on David when he was running for his life. David had mercy from God when he sinned. And yes, there was a terrible sin that David committed. Amen. And I look at this and I've wondered many times about the grace of God and the mercy of God and how awesome it is and how big it is and how complete it is that God would take a man who would commit murder and adultery at the same time, a man who had numbered the children of Israel, and God brought judgment upon him for that. But after those terrible sins that David committed, God lifted him back up to the place of kingship of Israel and gave him mercy. And we read in the scriptures of the sure mercies of David. Amen. That the Messiah came through David. Amen. That blessings came to the whole world through a man who had fallen many times. Well, praise God. But what he had was the ability to stay focused. Amen. That's what we need tonight, is the ability to stay focused on the big things, on the more important things of life and in living for God. Amen. David received mercy for many, many things that he had done. And I've asked myself the question many times in my journeys. Amen. David had the ability to completely destroy his enemies. He could go to battle and cut heads off. He could slice people in half. He could go would go in the power of God, and he would destroy and kill and take over and all of that. But there was another side to David. There was actually several sides to him. He had the ability to sing love songs. He had the ability to write about his God. And not only that, when a man came against him at one point in Scripture and was throwing rocks at him and calling him the devil or of the devil, he said, "Leave him alone. The Lord hath bidden him to speak, and it will be God that will avenge us and God that will bless us." Amen. For David and others of like precious faith that are in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 And my, you read down through the list of those in the chapter of faith of Hebrews, you'll find people like Samson. Amen. Samson, who was not really a model Christian, if you please. There wasn't Christians back then, but you get the gist of what I'm saying. Amen. But here he is in the book of faith. There was something about all of these men and women that are recorded here. And not just the ones that are recorded, but the ones that are not recorded. The others who were nameless, who are nameless tonight. Amen. They made it into the book of Hebrews chapter 11. It was zeal. Everybody said zeal. There was one thing that they had in common, and it was a zeal for God. It was something down on the inside that says, I've got a hold of something so great and so awesome that I am jealous over it. Amen. That I am envious over it. That I want to be a part of it. And I will hold it in the highest regard. Praise God. And it was that zeal. David gives us in many places, different places, the focus of his desire and the focus of his life. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you, if there were other things that he enjoyed in his 70 years, there was none that excelled the love that David had for his God, and more specifically for the house of God. Amen. For in him he had something that said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. There was a zeal in the heart of this man. There was a burning desire within him to find his God and to talk to his God and to be near to his God. Oh, there were times in the house of God and in his life that others did not do their duty right. Amen. There were many, many times, it seems like over his 70 years, he did an awful lot of running for his life. And a lot of turmoil and a lot of things against him, even his own son rising up against him. And I look at his life and I say, how in the world can anybody go through all of the things that David went through and make it into the chapter of faith? Praise God. It was a zeal for God. It was a jealousy over God. Amen. He understood at a young age that God is with us and that God is for us and that no matter what we face, no matter what we come up against in our life, that God will be there to help us if we will call on him. Somebody said amen. Amen. Praise God. For David, the house of God represented the most precious things of his life. And I begin to look at some of his writing, and when you look at people's writing or things that they say, it really says an awful lot about the individual. Amen. And for David, the house of God was a place that he desired to dwell in. Psalm 23 and verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell. Everybody said dwell. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. He saw something so valuable in the house of God that he had a zeal for the house of God. He wanted to go there. He wanted to park everything right there and say, this is the focus of my life. Amen. It is worthy of the focus of our life. Amen. He purchased the church with his own blood. We're here tonight at a great, great cost. Amen. It's not just another person sitting on a pew beside you. But what we are involved in tonight is eternal. Praise God. And whatever we go through, we must have a focus and a zeal and a desire to continue on, to do the work of God and to do the will of God in our lives. Somebody shout amen. 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 I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. For David, it was a place where he could view the beauty of the Lord. Amen. Now, I want you to notice as we go through a few scriptures here about David's feeling of the house of God. It is not recorded anywhere in any of his writing that he went to the house of God for somebody else, or that the house of God represented a person or people. Amen. But the house of God, the focus of the house of God was God. Amen. When he went there, he didn't go to see anybody. He didn't go there for any other reason than to inquire of the Lord and to get an answer from God. Amen. Oh, yes, there were times in the scripture where the house of God was polluted. But I'm telling you, right in the big middle of that pollution, there were people like the old woman that was waiting for the Messiah, and he saw him, or she saw him. Amen. People like Samuel, who was raised up under a wicked high priest, and he excelled and became a prophet over Israel. Praise God. How does that happen? And how do people make it through great adversity? I'll tell you, the only thing I can figure out is zeal. I've got to get back to the house of God. I've got to hear from God. I've got to find a place to pray and inquire of the Lord in his temple. Praise God. He wanted to get answers. Psalm 27 and verse 4. One thing. Everybody said one thing. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. I've already talked about some of that. But there is something about the house of God. Amen. The gate to heaven is not a ladder or stepping stones that go down. When Jacob saw the house of God, it was a ladder that ascended to heaven. Amen. It went upward. And that's where we're headed tonight. We're headed upward. Anybody with me on that here tonight? We're going on and we're going up. Praise God. We may step back a few steps, but bless your heart, we've got a zeal to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven more than anything in all of the world. And there's only one way that I can go to heaven, and that's through God. Amen. There's only one way that I can have the victory over and over and over again, and be labeled as an overcomer. Praise God. To be labeled as more than a conqueror, I've got to have, and you've got to have, some zeal in your heart. A jealousy over the things of God. Amen. A jealousy that says, I'm going to take care of this more than I take care of anything else in all of my life. Well, clap your hands to the Lord tonight. Praise God, to inquire of the Lord, to see the beauty of the Lord. God's beautiful. The Lord is beautiful. Well, praise God. For David, the house of God was a place to bless others. Amen. And that's what we need to do, is come to bless others. Because when we give blessings, we receive blessings. Psalm chapter 118 and verse 26. This is how David viewed the house of God. He said, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Well, praise God. The house of God needs to be a place of blessing. Amen. Because there are needs in the house of God. That doesn't mean that we get involved in people's personal lives and that we counsel them and we try to figure out how to help them Sometimes all it takes, and most of the time, what it takes is when someone comes to the house of God and they're lonely. Amen. They live by themselves. Praise God. All it takes is for someone to say, hey, would you like to come over for dinner on Tuesday night? Would you like to have a little fellowship? We're barbecuing something. We'd like to have you come. Now, don't get quiet on me here tonight. Amen. It's not all about me and my four and no more, but it's about others. Praise God. I want to be in a place where when people come to the house of God, that they will say of Pastor Wurst that he blessed them. Amen. Not that he hurt them in any way, but that he blessed them. Praise God. Amen. That's what it was for David. For David, the house of God was a place where he could flourish. Amen. No other place can be found where there is this possibility. Amen. Psalm chapter 92 and verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody ought to shout on that one right there. We're in a place where we can flourish. Amen. Not necessarily because of others, but because of the God who is here tonight. Because of the Word of God that is here tonight. We can flourish through God and His Word. Amen. We can go upward. When everybody else is going down, Joseph went up. Praise God. He went up and down and up and down until the day came that he went up to a permanent place of authority and power. Amen. There's going to come a day, church, when we will be kings and priests, and we will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Praise God. There will be given to us authority and rulership and judgment. Amen. And we will rule and reign with him for a long time. Praise God. We're not going down. Amen. We're not slaves here tonight for eternity. But this is the proving ground of our ability to have authority and to, how shall I say it tonight, be good stewards of what God has given to us. Amen. We have this treasure in earthen vessels tonight. Amen. And we need to be good stewards of the Word of God. Somebody said amen. We need to be good stewards of the Word of God. And we need to share the Word of God when we have the opportunity. Praise God. And when we are planted in the house of the Lord. I'm planted here tonight. Amen. I hope you're planted here tonight. Praise God. It's like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Well, praise God. You may not feel like you're prospering here tonight, but if you'll just plant yourself in the house of God and get your roots deep into God and into the Word of God, the day will come when the blessings begin to flow and you won't be able to stop them. They will come upon you and overtake you. Amen. You will be blessed in the field. You'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed on your job. You'll be blessed coming, and you'll be blessed going. And we could go on and on with that here tonight. But God did not give us his house so that we would be cursed, but so that we would be blessed. Somebody can flourish here tonight in the courts of God. All we've got to do is get planted and stay right where we are in the dirt. Amen. Praise God. David knew the house of the Lord was a place where he could seek goodness. Amen. And this has a deep undertow in that he had few places where he could go to seek for good. Amen. David tried it with Saul and he couldn't find it. David tried it with his own son, Absalom, and he couldn't find it. He tried it with his first wife, Michal, and he couldn't find it. He was trying, if you please, through his life and experiences in life. And those of us that are older here tonight, we've traveled down the road many times. We've heard those stories that are too good to be true and found out they were too good to be true. Amen. And the youth and all of that are going after it. But the elders just stand back and fold their arms and watch to see what's going to happen. Amen. We've all been down that road a little bit. Amen. But some of us tonight are going to go through it more. Amen. And what you need to do is understand that in this world there is no place where you're going to find ultimate goodness. There is none good, no, not one, the Bible says. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. It's a beautiful thing when brethren dwell together in unity. Amen. But that doesn't mean that that will always be that way. Praise God. What we need more than anything is to have unity with God. Unity with Him, walking with Him, supping with Him, talking to Him and Him talking to us. Praise God, because in the house of God, in the God of the house of God, there is goodness. Amen. David knew that when all else was done, there was only one thing to do. And the scripture gives us this in different places. But Psalm chapter 134 and verse 1, a song of degrees. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Amen. David knew that there were times that all he could do was stand. Amen. There are times when you can't walk, you just have to stand. There are times when things come along and all you can do is stand. In fact, we understand this through our spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13 and 14, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Why do we need the armor of God? I'll tell you why, because we're going to fight battles. You're going to fight battles. I'm going to fight battles. There will be battles that will come, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and so on. But there are times that we only can stand, and David understood and knew, this is where I can go and stand. Amen. Somebody said, praise the Lord. And lastly here, for David, the house of the Lord was his place to praise the Lord his God. Psalm chapter 135 and verse 1 and 2, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord, praise him, O ye servants of the Lord, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Amen. When we come to God's house, it is a place to praise him. Why? Because we're jealous of him. Amen. We're jealous of him. We love him so much that we want to entertain his presence. We want to open the door and say, Lord, come in and bless us with your presence. Amen. He inhabits praise. And so when we praise him, amen, he comes into our midst. David had a zeal for the house of God. And I turn now to the New Testament, John chapter 2 and verse 1. The book of John chapter 2 and verse 1. And it says that there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, you know the story, The mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Praise God. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Amen. We know the story here. This was the beginning of his miracle ministry. Just so happened it was at a wedding. Mom was the one that instigated this miracle, and she said, You do whatever he tells you to do. And so I read the story there. Somebody was interviewing children one time, and they asked a young boy, they said, Do you remember the story of Jesus turning the water into wine? And he said, Yes. And he said, What can we learn from that? And the little boy said, The more wine you have, the better the wedding is. Somebody smile just a little bit tonight. That's not the moral of the story here tonight. And it was not alcoholic wine that he made, but it was the best of the grape juice. Amen. And I can prove that to you from the Word of God. But after this, if you go down to the scripture here, the next verse, after this, everybody said after this. After the miracles. Amen. There was something about it. He was in Cana of Galilee. He was in the northern part of Israel, Jerusalem being in the center part of Israel. And so he was a ways away from Jerusalem. And here a miracle takes place. He began to show forth his glory, and good things were beginning to happen. But there was something in the heart of this man, Jesus, who was not just a man, he was God manifest in the flesh. Amen. We got to remember that. We got to understand that. And he went down to Capernaum, which is there by Sea of Galilee, and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and guess where he went? He went to the house of God. Why did he go to the house of God? Why didn't he just continue out in the outer regions where miracles were taking place? Why didn't he just stay out there where it was happening? I know people they're not necessarily in the truth, that are always looking for a miracle ministry. There's one that comes to my mind tonight. And always looking for a miracle ministry, they believe that there's going to be an outpouring of miracles. And there's going to be a turning of our country, and miracles, and all of these things are going to begin to happen. I believe in miracles tonight. But I do believe tonight that miracles are not the pinnacle of our walk with God. They are not the high point. Amen. They are not the thing that we are to rely on, neither voices or dreams or things of that nature. There is something that is more powerful than all of these, and it is the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. We have a more sure word of prophecy. And he said that after he had seen the Lord as he was transformed before their faces. Amen. We have a more sure word of prophecy. And here the Jews' Passover was at hand. Don't tell me that Jesus did not realize right here that in just a few short years that he would become the Passover sacrifice himself. He could have looked at that and said no. In fact, there was one point in time when he was praying and he knew that the moment was coming very soon. And he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go down there. Those people hate me and they're saying all these things. They're trying to kill me. They're conspiring behind closed doors to do me harm. I don't want to go through this. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. How could he say that? He said that because he was really, really close with his Father. You know, God's the greatest Father that ever lived. Amen. He's the greatest dad. He's the greatest father. I'm telling you what, I've thought about it many times. I highly respected my dad, but my dad was gone before I could really get a hold of the wisdom that was in him. And I began to search in other places. I'm thankful for my dad, but he does not compare at all to our Heavenly Father. Amen. Jesus had a zeal in him. And it wasn't just a jealousy, but it was an all-consuming thing within him. The Bible says in the scripture that we read to start with tonight, in the book of Psalm, he said, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Amen. The zeal of the house of God has eaten me up. I think about it every day, every moment. I think about doing the will of my Father and pleasing my Father. The zeal of the house of God. I have a zeal for the house of God. And I've just got to get there. At 12 years old, the zeal of the house of God became evident when he went to the temple and he began to talk about the law and he began to talk about things and they began to ask him questions. He was consumed by the house of God. He was consumed by the ways of God. Amen. There was a zeal that was in him that nobody could quench. And in fact, the scripture says it had eaten him up. And he found in the temple, he went right to the temple. Why did he go to the temple? It was because that's where his Father dwelt. Amen. Behind that curtain was his Father. Amen. Within that temple was the furniture that his Father had laid out. He didn't want to go against that. He didn't want to say those things are not important. But when he looked at the temple, when he looked at the house of God, he said, I want to make it the very best that I can for my Father. And that's how I feel about the house of God. I've always felt that way about the house of God. I've always had a reverence for the house of God. Many people have that reverence to the house of God. And it is a great benefit to anyone that will feel that way about the house of God. Jesus felt that way about it. Let's look and see what was going on in the house of God. The Bible says he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. Amen. What were they doing there? Oh, they were making it real convenient for you to bring a sacrifice. You didn't have to lead that sacrifice or put that bird in a cage and carry it however many miles or however far it was from your house to the temple. so that you could bring a sacrifice to God. Don't do that. We're just going to make it convenient. We're going to make it easier for you. And I'm afraid that we're in that generation today that wants everything to be very, very easy. Some are saying that, how many tonight has ever heard of AI? Artificial intelligence. Amen. It's a brand new thing. It's been coming around for a long time. And there is much concern about artificial intelligence because what it does is it does things that you could do for yourself. We're going to make life a lot easier for you, and we're going to set the computer up so that when you come into the room, you don't have to turn the light switch on. It just comes on for you. You don't have to worry about staying between the lines on the road. You just push a button, and the car will stay in the middle of those lines. Amen. I tried it out on my vehicle, and I just turned loose of the steering wheel, and it went down the road between the lines just like it should. But then all of a sudden, the car started talking to me, and it said, "Put your hands on the steering wheel." AI. Amen. On a car, just a car. That's all it is, just a car. 400 to 500 computers just to make it simple and easy for you. Oh, dear God, help us if we ever have to think for ourselves. We're going to destroy ourselves if we actually have to think about what we're doing and what the ramifications of those things are. And that was the attitude that was in the house of God here. They sold oxen. You didn't have to get your ox. It was an ox that somebody had traded off because they got a better ox. And you didn't have to bring the very best of your herd and lead it down the road, and everybody would know where you're headed. I'm headed to the temple for a sacrifice because I've sinned. Well, what have you been doing? Well, it's been pretty bad because I got to bring a big ox to take care of this one. And there were those that wanted to sacrifice pigeons and turtle doves, which is found in the law. And instead of raising their own pigeons or turtle doves or going out to catch one and to bring it to the temple, all they had to do was drive up in their car, push the button. Amen. It would drive up to the front steps of the temple. In fact, I hear they've got cars now that you don't have to do anything except get into it, and it will drive itself. Amen. They say in Las Vegas, which I've never been there, I don't plan to go there, nothing there of interest to me, but they say that all the rental cars in Las Vegas, I got to get this right, are completely autonomous vehicles. Just get in it, push the address, whew, and it goes. You could fall asleep and wake up where you're supposed to be. Praise the Lord. But used to, in our day, when you fell asleep behind the wheel, it could cost you your life. Amen. They came to the temple, and there were money changers there. If a turtle dove was $2 and all you had was a $5 bill, there was somebody that would change your five into five ones, and they would keep a percentage of that for the services that they did. And so you didn't have to really worry about a whole lot. All you had to do was come to the house of God, and you could have, I'm kind of just adding to this a little bit here tonight, but you could have an automatic debit of your tithes and offering, and you wouldn't even have to go to church. Amen. You could program the computer to praise the Lord, and you wouldn't have to come and praise the Lord. Everything is taken care of for you. We're in a very dangerous time. Amen. We're in a very dangerous time when the church has become a place of entertainment. Well, praise God. And where the messages that are preached in the pulpits are self-help. Amen. Self-help. Doctrine is not preached. Truth is not preached. But I'm telling you, when we get a hold of the Word of God, yes, it talks about personal things, but it talks about truth. Amen. Somebody said truth. And truth goes contrary to us. But in our generation, and in this generation here, there was not found among many of them those that had a zeal for the house of God. I'm just going to go through the motions. I'm just going to do what I've been asked to do, but let's make it as easy as possible. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm not here to make it as hard as it is possible. Some want to do that. But it's not a matter of making it harder. It's a matter of sincerity of what we do. So he sees this. He comes to his father's house. And out of his usual demeanor, he goes back into a workshop somewhere. He was a carpenter's son, so he knew how to build things. And he found a stick just about the right size, just big enough for him to hold his hand, holding his hand. And he goes out and he gets some small cords. And he found in the temple, when he had made a scourge of small cords. Amen. Those are the ones that really sting. I've never been whipped with a cord. Amen. Never been whipped with a rope. But I don't think I'd want to be whipped with a scourge of small cords. They could drive into the skin. They could hurt really bad. You wouldn't forget about it if you were hit by one of those things. And he goes into the temple, and he walks up to the first table, and the man says, "May I help you, sir?" And without a word from our master, he grabs a hold of the table and flips it over. And money goes everywhere. And the man begins to shout at him, and he calmly walks over to the next table. And the man is looking at him with apprehension as he picks up the edge of the table and flips that one over. And then there were others that were standing around, amen, that were changing money and selling things. And they were not necessarily looking at him, and he goes up behind them, and with all of his might, he strikes them on the back with that whip. And no doubt they screamed in pain and said, "What in the world are you doing?" Didn't say a word, walked over to another table and flipped it over. Went up to the oxen that had been brought in and whipped it on the rear end, and it took off running out of the temple, down the steps, probably tripped and collapsed out there in the street. He did it with the sheep. He took the cages of the birds, the pigeons and the turtle dove, and he broke them open and set them free. And he began to do these things. And he said to them, "Take these things hence. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise." And his disciples remember that it was written, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." I'm just consumed with my father's house. Praise God. And I'm consumed, amen, with doing the very best that I can do to make my father's house the very best place that it can be. Praise the Lord. And this is the place. He came to this house. This was the house where he was dedicated to the Lord. This was the house of God where he came on the eighth day and was circumcised. Amen. And it was a place that he was very familiar with. He taught in the temple, the Bible says. He was used to going to the temple. Amen. And he had a desire and a zeal for the temple, for the house of God, for his father's house. And he said, "This place is a place of prayer." Somebody said prayer. You say, "Oh, I can pray at home." You can pray at home. I can pray on my way to the job. You can pray on your way to work. But there's something about coming to a place that is solely and completely dedicated to the presence of God, to the preaching of the Word of God, to the people of God. And when we come into the house of God, there ought to be something that we say, I feel something here. I remember God did this over here. I remember God did that over here. I remember that I came this one night and something was said that helped me tremendously. This is God's house. This is the place. Amen. His Father's house was a house of prayer for all people. And he loved his Father so much that no distraction, no sin, or anything could keep him from making his Father's house great to him. Can I say that again tonight? That it made his Father's house great to him. Praise the Lord. I'm here tonight for him. I'm up here tonight preaching because of him. I give because of him. I serve because of him. I work because of him. Amen. There's no other reason than for him. Praise God. Praise God. Do we have the zeal? I know we have zeal. I feel it here tonight. I want to encourage us to continue in the zeal of the house of God. Amen. And there's lots of reasons why people come to the house of God. Philippians chapter 1, verse 15. I'm going to finish here shortly. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 15 through 18. Paul, who was probably the most mature Christian that we can find in the New Testament, and he had a tremendous ministry, wrote most of the New Testament, and he talks about other places and other people. And he says, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife. And that envy there means jealousy, only it's not the kind of jealousy I've been talking about, but it is a bad kind of jealousy. Amen. And it's not good to work for God under jealousy. Praise the Lord. You can still work for God, but it's not the best way to work for God. And some preach Christ also of goodwill. Goodwill means with sincerity. And then it says, the one preach Christ of contention. And that word contention means to resist a person. Praise the Lord. And I'm sure if you've lived for God any length of time, you'll see one of these somewhere in your walk with God. Amen. Paul talked about someone that preached it because of contention. And he said he throws people out of the church and forbids the apostles to even come because he's more holy and better and so on and so forth. But he's preaching Christ. He's preaching Jesus. Supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love. And that means to regard with affection. Some preach because of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? How do we deal with this? How do we reconcile this? People are getting the Holy Ghost in some of these places. They baptize in Jesus' name. They worship the Lord. Are we going to say, well, what then? What do we do now? Do we destroy them? Do we bring about strife and quarreling? Paul said, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. You know what I see right there? Can we stand together tonight? What I see right there is pure zeal. a zeal for the house of God. I want to see every church blessed. Praise God. I want our church to be blessed. And we are blessed tonight. We are blessed tonight. But Lord, give us a heart of zeal for the things of God and the house of God. I came here tonight to hear from God. I came here tonight to inquire of God, to seek God, to praise God, to build up the temple of God. Why? Because it was purchased with a great price. And it's been handed to us. It's been given to us freely. Me, you, we have been handed something so very precious, the Bible calls it a treasure. It's a treasure. I want to protect it. I want to love it. I want to strengthen it. I want to help it along. I want to be the one, amen, the one that says it's going to be great when we get to heaven. Because if somebody else is blessed more than I am, that's just a temporary thing, because we're both going to heaven. We're both going to receive the same reward. Praise the Lord. I'm not jealous because somebody can do something better than I can do it. You know what? I rejoice in that. I rejoice in that. I rejoice when somebody is able and has a talent, and I just look at them in awe and say, wow, that's really awesome. And then I think, you know what, I think I could do that. And then the more I think about it, the more I just lay it aside and say, I'll just watch them do it. Praise the Lord. I'll put a quarter in there and just let them entertain me. Praise God. We've got a treasure tonight, church. There's a treasure here tonight. And He has invested that treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power, Brother Charlie, may be of God and not of us. This church is not founded upon Pastor Wirth's. It's not founded upon Brother Keith, Brother Greg, Brother Reed, Brother Mike, Brother Charlie. Nobody else. I could name everybody here tonight. This church is not built upon this. But Jesus said, it will be built upon the rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And if I'm the only one in the church that's living for God, I'm going to rejoice that I can come to the house of God and that I have an opportunity to receive the treasure of the Word of God. Are you thankful tonight? Are you really thankful tonight? Amen. How do you feel about the work of God and the things of God? I don't know how you feel tonight, but I just have something inside of me that says, and I've said this many times over the years, Lord, why me? Why did you call me? Why did you call my name? Why did you work out all of those circumstances so that I could make my way to the house of God? And you know what? I've never gotten an answer other than, I love you. It's because I love you. It's because I care about you. Amen. Let's regard that tonight. Let's get a hold of that. And let's do the very best that we can do. Wherever we are, whatever we're supposed to do, let's do the very best that we can do. And thank God. Thank God. I can pick up a broom and sweep the porch. Thank God I can teach a Sunday school class. Thank God I can do my part, my little part, to build up the kingdom of God. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word.